At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, it's the Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins. I want to thank you all for joining us here on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel, watching us on X, and everybody listening on the Fight Game Media free feed on Thursday morning. And for people listening, you're probably not going to notice, and maybe you might not even notice on video, but Jeff can't see me. So if their reactions are not quite what they usually are, and if we step over each other a little bit, that's probably why. But we are going to muddle through this show because it sounds good.
Paul?
And yes.
Paul, I've worked in an audio format for years. I know. I can wait to talk. I'm pretty good
know,
at that.
I know. Okay. But it's a video show as well. And people can see you, so that's good. Yes. And you acted as if you knew they could see you, so that's even better because you're a professional.
Professional involves getting paid.
We have some questions. I'll ask Dean's questions after we do our little opening here. So I think it was talked about on Observer Radio. So Monday at evening, John Orend posted something, and he's a sports media insider. And he finally, for the first time, I believe, talked about AEW media rights as it relates to WBD. And he threw out a number that I know that you and I had both heard months ago. Now we've heard a bunch of different numbers, but this one came from a pretty good source, and it was $170 million, which
a year.
A year, yes. Sorry, I should clarify that. Now, what $170 million buys WBD? We're not quite sure. We're not sure if it includes pay-per-view or not. We're not sure if it includes extra shows or not. Oren believes that it includes some sort of content on True TV, which may be... yes and no, because it may be replays.
Okay.
Is what the speculation is. So, because he said twice a week on True TV, in addition to TBS and TNT. So, yeah, there's
why?
Why what?
Why this much content?
Because they lost the NBA.
That's true.
Yeah. And because it brings, even though the ratings are down, and they're down quite a bit, even though the ratings are down, it's relatively consistent. It's 52 weeks a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting basically, if they pick up Rampage, Collision, and Dynamite, that's 5 hours a week. That's 52 weeks a year. That's 260 hours. So at 170 million, I mean, that's, you know, what, 800,000, 700,000 an episode, an hour? That's not that much. I mean, when you're talking about premium cable television, it sounds like a big number, but we got to remember it's all their content, and it may also include pay-per-view. So I personally don't think it's worth that. I've done some math, and I know other people have as well. Brandon Thurston did a podcast today where he talked about this, right?
There are a lot of people in a tizzy over this conversation, Paul. And
yes.
Let me talk to you for a moment.
Let me talk to you.
There are two things that are going to happen when this deal is finalized. Number one, AEW is going to be on television, and number two, they're going to have a little bit more money. That's it. That's the list. And everybody is fantasy booking. Well, you know, if they get this Fox deal, then maybe Big Fox will like it because SmackDown, the cost was too much, blah, blah. Those are false narratives for the most part. Yes, it was expensive, but Big Fox also didn't want wrestling on their TV.
But yeah, they want college football.
They want college football. They don't want wrestling. They wanted something sports related in there, and they wanted $4.5 million a week, which was the value over replacement of Last Man Standing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. Well, you know, now that they have this extra money, AEW can go out and sign free agents. There ain't nobody to sign.
Well, there's that, and there's also the aspect of they did what my kids do,
or they can spend their paycheck. They have.
Well, they spent their paycheck before it came.
Yes.
Because Brandon Thurston, a lot of people miss this because I don't know how many people actually subscribe to his Patreon. They see his tweets and yes. they infer things that he didn't say.
Yes, and they look at like other tweets that summarize podcasts and things like that, and they take things out of context. Because I listened to that Pollock and Thurston, and the tweet I sent to you that had his point,
yeah,
absolutely missed on what he was saying.
Well, and I read it and I was like, well, I don't agree with that, but I also don't think he said it. And then yes. you listened and you said, well, he didn't say it.
I said Brandon, what Thurston said was, AEW has television value, which it does.
Right. The summary said it had no value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what he said was it has television value, but he has concerns about the declining fan base.
Correct. Now, a couple things. This Brandon Thurston did an analysis in November or December of last year when, you know, we've been going on this media rights thing for like a year and a half. And at that time he was trying to estimate. It's believed that AEW was getting $85 million a year in 2024. It would have been less than that last year. So that would include Dynamite, Collision, Rampage, Battle of the Belts. $85 million for all that. He did an analysis of what he believed their costs were and their revenues. He showed, you know, ticket sales, sponsorships, all this stuff. He used information he had. He guessed on some. Salaries, it's an educated guess because we hear certain things about certain people and we hear what WWE is paying and what their minimum is and what it would take to get someone from WWE if they're going to be a main eventer, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, he estimated that they needed a $125 million TV deal in order to be profitable. That's what his estimates were. That's before Okada, Ospreay, Mercedes, and whoever else they've signed since then, whoever else they've given an extension to, like Swerve Strickland and others. It may even have been before the Elite re-signed their extensions, which were, you know, Hangman, the Bucks, you know, getting, and Omega getting multi-millions. If you add up these salaries, it doesn't take you long to get to a pretty big number because you've got guys making in the multi-millions. Talent, I should say, making in the multi-millions are probably, you know, Swerve, Danielson, Moxley, Jericho, the Bucks, Hangman, Okada, Mercedes, Ospreay, and probably more, you know, that for whatever reason I'm not thinking of. And then Swerve. I think he was the first name I said.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah. And then you've also got, I believe this, I've heard a podcast. And anybody that's on an All Elite deal, basically, you know, like they only work for AEW, they're not on a per day deal, they're getting at least six figures.
Yes.
And they have a lot of people under contract.
Yes.
You know, and then there's guys in the middle, like Sammy Guevara, Mark Briscoe, Jack Perry, Orange Cassidy is probably higher than the middle.
And you know, you've also got to assume that anybody under a multi-year contract has escalation clauses.
Yes. Sting is probably still under contract, would be my guess.
Adam Copeland,
Christian Cage. I mean, so I don't think it's hard to believe that since then their expenses might have gone up 25, 30 million. Well, now you're up to 150, 155. And if pay-per-view is part of this 170 million, well, there goes your pay-per-view revenue. And all of a sudden you're back to like being break even at 170. Now you're not losing money and maybe I'm off, you know, on some of this and maybe they're going to get a Fox deal. Maybe pay-per-view is not included. But ticket sales are going down. So that's the other thing. That's assuming all that stuff stayed at the level it was at last year, which it hasn't. Their average ticket sales have gone down about 15 to 20%. The other thing is this is rumored to be a 3-year deal. with a 1 year option.
Yes.
Well, most of these are going 5, 6, 7, 10 years. WWE signed a 10-year deal.
Netflix's has a potential to be 20.
Right. Yeah. There's 2 5-year options at Netflix thing. I think after 10, it might be both there. They have to both agree. So
right.
It's probably 10 because
it doesn't matter. It's just the point is other places are long-term deals. This is a short-term.
If they continue to decline at the rate that they have been, which has been going on over 2 years right now, I did some math and the numbers don't look good. If they continue to go down 20% a year, year over year, by the time we get to 2027, when they're renewing again, Dynamite's going to be at around 350,000 a week and about a 0.14 in the demo. No, a 0.13 in the demo. Rampage would be like 118,000 and a 0.05.
Rampage
Collision would be around bad, so. Collision would be around 2.25 and about a 0.07, 0.08. Those numbers aren't worth a big increase. And the problem is the talent increases are going to go, you know, the talent costs are going to go up in that time. So they need to like turn this around. And I don't know how they do.
I also think part of that is also, we don't know what's going to be the landscape for WBD in 3 years.
True. Because their NHL deal comes up in 3 years.
Yeah. It's a company in a bit of turmoil.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get any better once they officially lose the NBA, which will be after this next year.
That might hurt AW's ratings.
Yeah, because the advertising won't be there.
Yeah, they advertise AEW during NBA games. Mm-hmm. There's also more people turning into the network.
Yes.
You know, just out of habit. And maybe they lose their premium position on cable systems.
I'm always cynical. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is my brand to be had. So I'd be a little concerned here. I mean, you're going to get 3 years of product. Don't worry about that. I mean, TNA has been on for 30 some odd years now in some form. I think AEW will be the same. But when you look at the roster and you look at the wrestlers and you look at this, who's the savior? Who's the guy that's going to really pop something here? And I don't know if that can be, because it's not going to be the product itself. And this is the downside. This is the other edge of the sword when you book for sickos. There's only a limited number of sickos out there. And you know, it's one of those things. And you watch this show and the things that we liked that we're going to talk about tonight are the certain times where people actually showed emotion and an emotional connection to the work. And you don't really
and they got that emotional response as well.
Yes. Yeah. And you don't get that in a lot of, for lack of a better term, indie style wrestling. You get the good, clean, functional, but the guys themselves, you know, in pay-per-views they're connected, but not on the week-to-week television. Not when we're going through the motions, etc. They're good matches. But it's also just, you know, we don't have the personalities popping. We don't have like our boy Garrett. Is a big fan of the challenge, loves the challenge. I find this show repulsive, but he loves the challenge. What makes the challenge special?
Personalities
and getting into fights. That's the secret. Reality, I've said it for years, reality television does professional wrestling better than professional wrestling these days, because we see these conflicts. We see people cut promos on each other. We see people get into fights. And this is what people want out of wrestling, in my opinion. I know I don't subscribe to that. Well, there's a bunch of lapsed fans out there that we can get. If they only see that this wrestling is more quality than the WWE stuff that turned them off, blah, 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 blah. There is not a huge difference between the quality of wrestling in WWE and AEW.
And even if there was, it doesn't matter.
Right, because style makes things more than actual.
You know content. What the hottest wrestling TV show is right now? I mean, you know, because I told you.
No.
No, it's Raw.
Yes.
And because I put an article up on Fight Game Media today. You can Google it. Just Google my name and Fight Game Media. It'll probably be the first thing that comes up. And Raw has been up year over year, I think 6 of the last 7 weeks. And they're the only of the 6 weekly cable television wrestling shows that are on the air right now. They're the only one that is. And when you look at that, it's exactly what you just described. It's personalities that people want to see fight.
Okay, you've got Liv Morgan. Yeah, but let me give the other side of this too before you get into this.
Sure.
Because there was a lot of talk on this Pollock and Thurston podcast about how quote, AEW isn't necessary. I like it. Don't get me wrong. But I think when they say it's not necessary, it's more, you know, we have the XFL. We've tried Canadian football here in the States. We've tried the World League of American Football, which later became NFL Europe. We've had
arena college football.
We've had arena football. Well, college football is a little different, but we've had all these professional football leagues because people like football in the United States, Paul.
But there's a limited audience for a second brand.
But yes, but the NFL is the major league. We have minor league baseball here. It doesn't sell out. You go to small towns and see it because there's nothing to do there. AEW is Pepsi. And there's nothing wrong with being Pepsi, but it's never going to be Coke.
Well, I hate Pepsi. But and the cherry XFL Pepsi's could
pretty good. Wild
the XFL Pepsi's could actually I like both those. Okay. XFL could have the best games in the history of football every week, and it doesn't matter. Yes. Nobody's going to watch it because it's the NFL, and the NFL could absolutely suck, and it doesn't matter. For years, the Super Bowl was terrible every year, and it's the highest rated show on television. Now it's been better the last few years, but.
The WNBA didn't draw the WNBA has been around for 20 some odd years and it wasn't pulling a profit. It wasn't doing anything. And
now then we got Caitlin Clark.
Now we get Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Curry had a great point here, which you can't see. AEW should have a combination of drama with a great quality of wrestling. And Anthony agrees with your wild cherry Pepsi.
You know what? You can. let's give an example. What was the main event of this show tonight? The six man.
That six man all-star match.
Yes. Why didn't we have at least promos from one team in the beginning of the show and one team in the middle of this show?
Why didn't we know about this match before it aired?
Yes. They're not doing the basics right.
When we went off the air last week, there was nothing announced for this show. Immediately after the show aired, they tweeted out that next week we're going to have a six-person all-star tag team match. I watched Rampage. They never mentioned it once. I watched Collision. They mentioned it at the very end of Collision while the Outrunners and FTR were posing in the ring at the bottom of the screen when the match was over and people had probably already shut it off and nobody was watching that show to begin with. So they're advertising this shit on Twitter and wondering why people aren't tuning in. Like, you know, SmackDown debuted on Friday. On the USA Network, and they had a low audience at the beginning of the show because I think people forgot that they had moved.
Yes.
And then the audience increased during the show because, you know what, Roman Reigns showed up and they told you, oh, he's going to be back at the main event. Now, if they had advertised him ahead of time, maybe they would have got more, but they probably also knew, okay, there's not going to be a lot of people watching. CM Punk was on NXT last night. Right, the numbers shot up. They may beat Dynamite this week. It's probably going to be close. They did 671,000 and a 0.21.
I don't think they're going to, but
I don't either, but they could. Survivor premiere tonight. And that usually has a big audience. So that could hurt Dynamite, but there was no major sports.
And also just they're there. Look, CM Punk is there to talk trash and get in a fight. Roman Reigns is there to kick some ass. Yes. We don't have ass kickers really on AEW. We have guys who get into fights.
Well, Hangman is kind of that.
We get Moxley.
Yeah.
Although Moxley is doing this weird art piece right now.
Yeah, I will get into Moxley. That was when I was getting really frustrated with this show. We'll talk. I sent you a message at.
Oh, yeah. You, like, you You were angry.
Three quarters of the way through the show, I hated it. Like I, and by the end of the show, I thought it was not bad because we had the Hangman save the show. Jarrett
Jeff picked Jarrett up on that their show,
and then the main event was pretty good. Yeah. But again, we would have been more excited about it with some promotion. Now I will give them credit; they booked a match for 2 weeks from now. They told us why it was important. They gave Ricochet wins leading up to it. They got an important show next week, and they booked a match for next week. Yay! I tweeted that out, and people thought I was being sarcastic. And I'm no, this was awesome.
Paul doesn't know sarcasm.
I do, but nice. I didn't this in this case. I mean, there is still issues.
Yeah, I mean they the things that they care about, they'll get to.
And yeah, we have Rampage on Friday. I think.
But you have 100 other people on this roster you need to take care of. And
they announced one match for Collision. And it's even though there's another match for Collision you probably don't know about because they set it up last week on a show nobody watched. And it's a match that you probably want to see.
Is it the 10-man?
No. It's the Kingdom against Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara in a bunkhouse match for the ROH World Tag Team titles. They never mentioned that match once tonight.
No.
That would get people to tune in, I believe.
Would they? No.
Dustin Rhodes in a bunkhouse match? Oh, yeah.
Okay, not maybe a Dustin, lot. Dustin in a bunkhouse match.
Yeah, not a lot of people, but I mean, they could have mentioned it. I mean, why even book it if you're not going to mention it?
Yes.
John says, I think AEW is still consistent with what it is. Sicko's booking, MJF 20-minute promo, sports-based presentation, Jericho Vortex, C2 tournament. What's the core of this company that I do mostly enjoy? Yeah, that's a problem. They don't have an identity.
Well,
they're all over the place.
Yes, they are. Yeah. They are not WWE.
Yeah,
that's the identity, but they are still doing a lot of what WWE does. Everything or about did. Yeah, a lot of this is still about, hey, we're doing a TV show, and it's all about the politics of doing the TV show at that moment.
Meanwhile, WWE is more like sports. I'm watching this week. Joe Tessitore is throwing out facts, left, right, center, stats.
He is fantastic.
He's like, oh, Zoe Stark, this is her 30th singles match and the most of any woman on the roster. Oh, Natalya and Zoe had a match on Main Event earlier this year. I'm like, what? Oh my God.
And Taz and Tony are playing grab ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. We need to get into this show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Now, I do want to pull this up here. So Dean said earlier on, many questions remain after tonight's show. What week is this? Do we need to start the Nigel Bryan video over again? And does Bryan even exist anymore? We haven't seen the new world champ on TV yet. We also haven't seen Mercedes on TV, and I don't even think they've told us that she retained her title. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Because I watch all the TV, and I've not seen her once. So,
You know, this was the go-home show for a Grand Slam, correct?
Yeah.
We didn't even get like a at-home promo from Bryan Danielson saying, I'm going to try to make it.
Nope. And in fact, they were very clear. This match might not happen. Don't buy tickets to this show expecting to see
Nigel. Don't come because our champion may not be there.
If he can make it. If you didn't see the show, you might think we're exaggerating. They said that. We want to make it very clear that this match may not happen. So if you're buying tickets expecting to see this match, don't get mad at us if it doesn't happen. That's basically what they were saying because they don't want to be accused of false advertising. Which almost makes me, is he actually not cleared? I mean, it's possible. You know, it wouldn't be the first time. You know, they're doing the 5-year anniversary show in Pittsburgh in 2 weeks. You think maybe you might want to advertise Britt Baker?
We'll see if she's on.
Well, that's it. We haven't seen her since All Out, so we don't know. So this show, it was the debut in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. They got just under 3,000, 2,955. Building holds 10,000 and about 8 for wrestling probably. So it was about one-third full, a little over one-third. And it seemed like it at times. This crowd was, they picked up at certain things, but for the most part, they were dead.
They were, I mean, it's interesting how wrestling crowds have become so conditioned to play their part at times, yeah, where it's just like, yeah, this is the part where we say this is awesome.
Yeah.
If it's not,
even though we may not have thought it was awesome up to
this
point. I
was mad at this during this main event. I'm like, they're waiting for the first kick out from a finisher to get into this thing. I was just like, I can't believe they're this bored.
Yeah, no. And speaking of bored, okay, so before the match started, we got the cold open.
You know what
again.
We need, Paul? We just need like grannies to start stabbing wrestlers again and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just make it believe it's real. Just once.
There was one point here where I thought that the fans should have been scared and they were actually laughing. And I think it was with Hangman. And I felt like Hangman was just going to deck the guy.
With Shivani, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So as Claudio, Marina, and Mox walked in, there was loud Moxley chants. So this heel turn is really working. And then Darby Allin skated in, and fans chanted for him as well. And we get Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho kicking off the show. And Kyle O'Reilly and Mark Briscoe were with him. The learning trees with Jericho. They pointed out that Orange Cassidy had 2 singles wins over Jericho. I guess Justin Roberts wasn't there and Arcady was doing the ring announcing. I mean, I didn't really notice her, so I suppose that's good.
She was fine.
I'm surprised they didn't get Bobby Cruz, but that's fine. They showed highlights of Jericho's car being ruined. And for those that aren't on video, I did air quotes. Bill and Keith and Kyle O'Reilly and Briscoe all ended up in the ring like right at the start, and they're all brawling, and eventually they all disappeared, and we were back to just Orange Cassidy and Jericho. And they mentioned that they were both at the CML show last Friday, and they didn't say who won. Now, they did mention this on Collision, and Tony Schiavone lied and said that Chris Jericho beat him, including showing a highlight of Chris Jericho pinning him, because it was a 2 out of 3 falls match and he beat him in the second fall. But they said he beat him and they showed the pin. Then they aired highlights of a segment where, you know, I think it was post-match, and Jericho and the Learning Tree was beaten on Mystico, and Orange Cassidy made the save and people booed it. But if you watched AEW's highlights, they went nuts for it. We got piped in cheers. So very interesting, because people used to criticize WWE for doing stuff like that. Jericho did the spot where he teased a dive and said, "Hi, guys." They went to the outside, did a spot through the timekeeper's table, which led into commercial. Crowd chanted, "Holy shit." But after the break, they're back in the ring, trading punches, and everybody was asleep again. Schiavone pointed out his first match they've had in front of fans, I guess to remind us that there were fans there because they weren't making any noise.
It was because they had a match during the pandemic.
They had two, but I'm just saying, like, nobody was, it didn't sound like there was anybody watching. They were selling the fact that because of the walls, Orange Cassidy was in the walls for a long time. He made the ropes, and then Big Bill showed up and kicked him in the head. And then after that, Orange Cassidy was selling his back the whole time. So every time he made a cover, Schiavone was pointing out, well, his back is sore, so he can't make the cover as strong as he normally would. And Taz actually said he had a point, and that was that. So they played that for a while. This match went on forever. At one point, Orange Cassidy hit 3 straight DDTs on Jericho. JR spinning in his grave. And the third one was from the top the top rope.
How dare you use my gimmick against me?
Sorry. He got a 2 after the diving DDT, and then the crowd chanted that was 3. And then he went for the Superman punch, but Jericho reversed it into a code breaker. And this is where the fans, just out of nowhere, when they've been bored the whole match, chanted, "This is awesome."
yes.
Yeah. So Orange Cassidy hits a beach break. Jericho kicked out. Brian Keith showed up. Briscoe fought him off. Somewhere in there, I think Brian Keith handed Jericho a roll of quarters, but Cassidy got it away from him and hit Jericho with the orange punch while holding the quarters and got the pin. And I guess he must have shoved the quarters into his pocket or something, because we didn't see the quarters fly everywhere.
Yes, the quarters didn't fly anywhere. So it's just, you know, a roll of quarters.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very good match. It went on forever and no heat at all.
It wasn't that good of a match because it had no heat at all.
This is true.
And this
Abe's going to give it 4 stars, though.
And this was positioned incorrectly. Why is this the hot opener we've all been waiting for in some way?
No, the opener should have been Ricochet and Mortos.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this also should have either been a TV main event for any show of the three, or it should have been on Grand Slam. One of the two. Because this has actually been a multi-week feud culminating in something. And this was just the opener on a Dynamite.
Oh, and you know when we knew this match was
lackluster match. Yeah.
And even though it's been built up, you know when we knew this match was happening? When the two guys showed up in the ring. Because they never announced it once. Other than at the very end of Collision when they ran down the card. Not at any point did anybody, next week we're going to have a match. Jericho did a promo last week on Orange. Not once did he mention that this match was happening, because Tony probably hadn't booked it yet. Like,
And you know, if he had known to book it, then Chris could have cut another promo being angry, saying we're having a match next week.
And where did this all lead? Nowhere. Because when it was over, it was done. That's it.
Yes.
Jericho's going to move on. He's going to move up the card. Probably going to be feuding for the world title next. Orange Cassidy's going to be feuding.
Orange Cassidy's going to get like a feud with
Mortos or something.
Mortos.
That sounds awesome. Orange Cassidy and Mortos.
I'm here for that, but Mortos ain't going to win a single match.
No, I don't care.
I won't push.
This next segment.
Okay.
So the announcers tell us that we're going to go to a promo that was taped last week after Dynamite. Big graphic on the screen saying last week after Dynamite.
Right.
So it's Pac and Claudio, and Moxie showed up later. So Pac says, "Where were you? We're the Trios champs. We haven't heard from you at all. Next week, we have a championship defense." I'm like, oh, cool. We're gonna see a Trios title match this week. And he says, "Time to come to work." And then I wrote down here, like, he was there on Saturday. Like, what are you talking about? And Claudio says, "I'm disappointed. I thought I taught you better. You're old enough to make your own decision. So show up next week and help us defend our titles." Next week. This was taped last week. So they're talking about today. Okay. Mox says, "You got the strength inside you to do the right thing. It's your choice. You didn't even pick up on this. Okay. You're free to leave. You're not trapped. Do what you want. You have a personal responsibility to the greater good. Look yourself in the mirror and ask what type of man we taught you to be." And I've noted that there was ominous music playing behind the promo. So then they show us that Wheeler Yuta, in fact, did show up for work on Collision, except he was distraught. Did you watch Collision?
No.
Okay. Wheeler Yuta shows up to the building. He's distraught. He's interviewed. He's, "My head's not here. I don't know what's going on."
Oh, so he was acting. He says, great.
Yeah. He forgot his boots. When he went to the ring for his match, he didn't have his wrists taped up. He's in the ring and he's just sulking. And he at one point he rolled to the outside and sat in a chair. And then his opponent is Anthony Henry. And Anthony Henry's like yelling at him, get his foot in the game. Finally, Anthony Henry said, "Oh, I'm going to put you down like Moxley put down Danielson," or something like that. Oh, and that was them's fighting words. Wheeler Yuta fired up, kicked his ass for about 60 seconds and pinned him. So the last 60 seconds was great. But before that, it was just like despondent Wheeler Yuta acting. So that leads us to this promo where Alex Marvez found Wheeler backstage. And he says, "The Blackpool Combat Club is asking you to defend next week at Grand Slam." So it's like the match isn't happening tonight. And Wheeler's here. He showed up. So he probably thought the match was this week. And Wheeler says, "I'm conflicted. I worked my whole career to become a champion. And if we're going to showcase what we got next week at Wrestle Dream..." And then Marvez had to stop him and say, "No, next week is Grand Slam." So this is him acting again. And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry." And then All of a sudden, a stagehand shows up with Wheeler's belt because he forgot it in the locker room. Because apparently he needs to hold it for this interview. Although I think he thought he had a title defense coming up. Like, I don't know what the hell is going on here. Wheeler says you can't change who you are just because people around you are changing. And if they want to defend these belts at Grand Slam next week, I'll kick who's ever ass I have to. So that was that.
You know, I've gone to work when there's heavy stuff on my mind before. Mm-hmm. I still remember how to do my job. This is so formative dumbness.
I brought this up in the Discord, and I says, like, Tony Khan will give people. He gave Sammy Guevara 6 months off to have a baby. He gave Sting time off when his dad died. I guess Wheeler Yuta's aunt died like right before that match at All Out. Oh. So, you know, he's got a lot in his mind. Why did he make him show up to work on Collision to wrestle Anthony Henry? Number one. Why did he make him come to Dynamite this week when he didn't have a match? You know, like, I guess because Pac told him last week that he was going to have a match. I don't know. Yeah, and look, you know what?
If we're going to do this, go all the way with it. Okay, Wheeler Yuta forgot his boots.
Yeah.
And he's leaving stuff behind. Have him just sulk to the ring, go, I don't feel like doing this, you win and leave.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. And yeah.
The people paid to see Wheeler Yuta, so we can't have it.
No, they didn't.
We're gonna show him being fired up. We've made Wheeler Yuta bipolar.
Yeah. He's hanging
in some
he's,
ways. He's no offense to anybody who's actually bipolar. Yeah, I know. Right? I know. You know.
He's distraught. And again, you know, we still don't really know why. We haven't really been told what happened to Danielson. We know Moxley attacked.
He should be confused. Is what he should be, not distraught. Yes. He should be confused as to what the hell's going on with the Blackpool Combat Club.
Yeah. Angry at his buddies or wanting to side with them.
Why were you holding me back? Did you not think I was going to be in on it?
Total sidebar here.
You didn't tell me anything?
Tony had a special on FS1 where he pretended the Bucks angle was real.
No, that's from a video from Draft.
But he was selling it like it was real.
Yeah, no, he did that. He did that on draft day,
mm.
because the angle happened the day before the NFL draft, so he was wearing a brace in the thing, and they had the behind the scenes cameras for it.
But it sounds like my guess is that they also talked to him, and you know, you do the voiceovers and everything, and he's probably saying, "Oh yeah, when they gave me the my neck was hurting so bad, I had to wear this thing." And
yes, yeah, no, he did this on Rich Eisen's show as well.
Oh, great. So then we go to the announcers talking about Wheeler and Danielson and Nigel and everything. And it sounded like an empty arena. Like there was no reaction. So I guess the fans couldn't hear what they were saying or they didn't care.
They don't broadcast commentary over to the
okay. Arena. But even when WWE does this, like you can hear the crowd, like they're going nuts, that, you know, whatever, they're seeing a show. These guys were, you know, they all decided, okay, nothing's going on. We're going to go buy popcorn. I don't know.
Yes.
Roddy Strong joined for commentary, so I thought, oh, okay, we're probably getting a hook match. Sure enough, the hook signal hits. Hook, we have no idea who his opponent is. I don't think it was mentioned. If it was, I missed it.
I believe it was JD Ink.
Okay, well, he had a lot of ink. I will say that. He was inked up from head to toe. I've never seen this many tattoos.
He actually had some good-looking ink as opposed to Hook. Yeah. So.
True. Yeah, but it was like, it almost looked like tights. Hook
looks like he has prison tats.
I pointed this out because when I saw Tony Khan on the NFL thing with the brace on, I said, you know what? Hook is, if Tony Khan was using a creator wrestler to create himself in a video game, he would have created Hook. And this is Tony Khan. This is me as a wrestler. So, but anyways, he beat the crap out of this guy, you know, in seconds. It was a perfect squash match. Just killed him. He left him for dead. He left the ring. The guy was flat in his back for like hours. They probably had to scoop him out with that forklift from last week. And as he goes to the top of the ramp, he jawed at Roddy, and that was that. So they're wrestling next week.
And this did nothing either because Roddy didn't play his part.
Not really.
Roddy
kind of buried Hook on commentary.
Well, he didn't. I mean, number one, he's yelling Hook. Randomly. Yeah. But he should be laying into Taz. What a moron son he has.
No, he was being nice to Taz.
Yes, he's like, hey, I know. Taz,
how you doing?
No.
Taz is like, oh, no,
we should have been burying Hook on. Look what kind of parent would let their son?
Yeah. Well, the problem is Taz is a heel commentator.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hook, Roddy was kissing up to him.
No, Taz is a Taz commentator. Well, but I digress.
Yeah, Nigel's really the only heel commentator they got, I guess. But yeah, so this was all to build up, quote unquote, their match next week at Grand Slam, which was set on Collision, I think. They're Darby.
I'm just a little disappointed in Roddy because I've seen Roddy get some great heat as a heel on the mic.
And the Kingdom were there too, but they didn't do anything.
Well, yay.
They were there, and they never once mentioned that bunkhouse match they have on Saturday with Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. So.
They were doing some weird, because Roddy did the "I'm going to break his back and humble him," and then the Kingdom were kind of doing a Hogan pose. So I'm expecting a Kingdom Outrunners feud for some reason.
That'd be cool.
Okay.
Over the ROH tag team. You know what? The Outrunners should win the ROH tag team titles. That would be perfect for them.
They should win the IWGP tag team titles as far as I'm concerned.
That's not good. Let's not get carried away. So back to Alex Marvez. He was working hard tonight. He mentioned that there's an open challenge for the Trios titles, and who should accept but the guys that that Moxley, Claudio, and Marina laid waste to last week.
Yes.
But Private Party and and by the way, so we had that match last week that was supposed to happen, Private Party and Commander against three jobbers, one of whom was John Cruz.
Yes.
They redid the match on Collision.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Was it a match classic?
No, it was a squash match. But it was the exact same guys. Like, they brought back the three jobbers.
I actually like that as a move.
I do too. I thought it was great. Yeah.
Hey, they signed this contract.
So they got paid twice, I'm assuming. Well, one of them's John Cruz, and he's at every show. But the other two guys, they're like nobody. One of them was, his name was Lord Cruz, and the other guy's name was Ren Jones. So they got paid twice.
I'm happy for them.
So anyways, Private Party accepts the challenge. Zay says, Mox, you want a war? This will be your first battle. We'll own all your asses. And I wrote down, they're getting destroyed. And I have never had a more accurate prediction in my life, which we'll get to later.
Is that the only note you're going to give here?
That was it, yeah.
Then allow me.
Okay.
I liked this.
It was
a good attempt at a money promo slash fight promo versus the character promo. They didn't come out and go, we're going to do shots and we're going to be in the club all night with the deep. Yeah. Nope. They were serious. They were angry that they got jumped. They were looking for a fight. This might have been the best promo on the entire show other than Jeff Jarrett. And I liked it.
But then the follow-up killed it.
I mean, well, okay. Back in like 84, 85, 86, you'd get this with like they'd throw out like a Sam Houston out there. Go do 30 seconds and try and get yourself over. That's what this felt like to me. And I was like, I appreciate this effort, even if it's not the best promo in the world. It was a change, and they actually got to try and do an actual promo that might get them some sort of heat with it.
The only thing I would add is maybe Commander should have been with them here as well, because he was one of the guys that got destroyed last week.
And God knows he needs help. So yes.
Yeah, but he wasn't. So at this point, we'd seen Marvez so many times. I thought, oh, maybe Renee's not there, but nope. We got Renee next with the patriarchy. She reminded everyone that Christian has a world title shot whenever he wants it, but he wants to talk about Nick Wayne. He points out that he's got a four-way on Friday. The most rampage of rampagiest matches.
Oh, this is also every rampage four-way.
Yes. Nick Wayne versus Rocky Romero versus Kip Sabian versus Leo Rush.
Leo Rush again.
Yeah, and I wonder who's taking the pin here. Christian tells the biggest lie he's ever told in his life, that the importance of this match cannot be understated. This is the start of Nick Wayne's road to glory. We're going to hold championships at the same time. And then he looks at Renee and he says, won't make for a good conversation at your house, will it? Because your husband wants the title. And then he says, I want you to address me by my proper moniker. So Renee calls him the reigning, defending, undisputed next AEW world champion. And then all of a sudden, Nick Wayne just walks off for some reason, and Christian is annoyed and he follows him, and there's Kip Sabian there, and Kip is like, hey dude, there's no hard feelings. And then Christian says to him, I don't care about it or your head. Your face is starting to piss me off. If I see you again, I'll put you in the dirt next to your father. I don't know what the hell is going on with Kip Sabian.
Kip Sabian's father died, so we're making that into an angle, I think.
Yeah, but
it's dumb. It doesn't make any sense, and nobody cares about Kip Sabian. And
all he does is eat pins.
Yes.
Until he's going to disappear again.
Now there was another interesting facet of this interview that I'm what, like
Luchasaurus?
No.
Oh.
When he brought up Moxley in the company.
Oh yeah, yeah,
Renee
yeah.
Young, because what is Moxley doing right now?
Running around with Marina Shafir.
Exactly. And has anybody bothered to ask Renee how she feels about this?
That would have been, and you might want to talk to your husband. He looks like he's stepping out.
Yeah, it looks like your husband might be fooling around with Marina Shafir.
Yeah.
with Roddy Strong's wife.
I actually think this is all, I actually think this is all leading somewhere, and I'll go over my theory in after we talk about the Moxley segment. Okay.
Yes.
Because I think I know where this is all heading. And I thought I knew last week, but I think I know now. So, oh my God. Next, we got a match that they spent way too much time setting up if you watch Collision and Rampage. And it was Serena Deeb and Mariah May teaming up, believe it or not, against Queen Yamanata, Queen Aminata, and Yuka Sakazaki.
Okay,
so the show. Pause. Yes.
So now, in the course of just a few weeks, we've had Private Party inexplicably going from heel to babyface.
Yeah.
And Serena Deeb is now gone from babyface back to heel.
She churned about 4 or 5 times during the match on Saturday. So.
I like all these women, but yes, I.
Hey, you want to know another problem with this match? I'll run down these names again. Mariah May, AEW Women's World Champion. Okay. Cool. Serena Deeb, Queen Aminata, Yuka Sakazaki. If you're one of the 2,955 people in attendance here, I assume you probably watch Dynamite most weeks. You probably aren't watching Collision or Rampage because nobody does.
Correct.
Do you have any idea who 3 of these 4 people are? I
know, because you haven't been able to watch Aminata's run with Red Velvet over in
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor, which was very good, and you know her as the person who was basically eating pins when she was teaming with Emi Sakura. Yuka Sakazaki hasn't been around in ages either.
And Deeb usually wrestles on Collision, if she wrestles at all.
Yes, and Deeb has been banished to Collision probably.
If she wrestles at all, which is hardly at all. I think last week was her first match in like 4 months.
Yeah.
So you had 3 of the 4 women who the people didn't know. And if you've been paying attention, Mariah May doesn't really get a reaction most weeks at all, because people want to see her versus Tony. But when Tony's not around, which she hasn't been since All In, they don't really care about Mariah May all that much.
And that's because she doesn't promo.
Well, that was the other thing. During the Serena Deeb match on Saturday, Mariah May was on commentary.
She was on commentary. No, I read about this.
And spent the whole time flirting with Nigel and trying to crack Tony.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean,
she was trying to be funny instead of being a heel.
It was entertaining on some level, but it also sucked the air out of the room and killed the match.
Tony, are you wearing mirrors on your shoes?
Yes. You creep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was that. So then we got this match and nobody cared. They did pick up at one point when they all hit a bunch of suplexes, except one of the suplexes, someone's head almost hit someone's leg that was lying in the ring from a previous suplex.
They came back for the commercial break and everybody just, and it was a slow match then. And then everybody tried to kill each other because we had that belly to back on Yuka who just died. And then we also had, the two heels getting suplexed, but almost.
Yeah.
It was
kind of bad. And then Yuka hit the magical girl splash and then Mariah broke up the pin with a belt shot, which caused a DQ, and the crowd booed that.
Aminata got nothing in this match, and as a baby face it's almost like you have killed her aura, because in that Ring of Honor run where she was kind of a baby face, kind of a heel with Red Velvet, and when she was a heel you know, enhancement talent teaming with the Emmy Sakura. She got to chop the crap out of people and kill people. And now as a babyface, she doesn't get to do all that much.
No, unless she's wrestling a jobber.
Correct.
And even when that, she wrestled Robin Renegade on Saturday, and Robin Renegade took 75% of the match.
And I love Yuka Sakazaki.
Yeah, but it's Yuka, like... Yuka's pretty funny. There was a promo with her and Mariah backstage.
Saw that.
You didn't see the whole thing. The whole thing was even better. Because they went about 30 seconds, and the clip you sent me was like 9. So, I mean, it was probably the best part that you sent me, but the rest of it was good too. But anyways, so this match is over, and I figured when this started, you know, like a week ago, I thought, oh, they're setting up Yuka Sakazaki and Mariah May for the title. You know, that's what they're going to do. But no, like Mariah May just beat the shit out of her after the match. I don't think we're getting this match. I mean, if we are, it's just going to be a TV match, and Mariah is
Yeah, it's going to be a TV match on either Collision, Rampage, or a throwaway Grand Slam to bring in Mina.
Yeah, we don't actually have a women's match for Grand Slam, so that last one is probably what it's going to be. And then we get a video from Mina Shirakawa. She said she hasn't heard from Mariah in months. She doesn't like what she's become, but she still wants to be with her. They showed highlights of them making out and all this stuff. She asked, is AEW ready for Mina? Then she says, and I quote, Mina is coming. And shook her tits for the camera. This was not subtle at all. It was either promoting a match or an upcoming porno film. I'm not sure which, perhaps both. I'm not making this up.
No, Mina and Mariah know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. Mina is coming. Yeah.
You know, earlier this week as well, I believe Tony Khan dropped the bomb that he's able to buy out the contract of a star from Stardom.
Stardom has stars?
I think he's buying out Mina Shirakawa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I heard Scott Edwards, he guested on, this was funny actually, he guested on Fight Game Media, or the Fight Game podcast, which is not on this network, but it's on the F4W network. Sometimes Garrett will post clips from the show on this network. But Scott Edwards, of course, hosts the 5-star Joshi podcast, which airs on this network on Thursdays, I believe. And he was talking about how essentially whenever AEW sees someone they want, they just take them.
Yeah.
And so when he sees someone, then they're coming up and they look like a star. Half of him is thinking like, oh, I guess I should enjoy it while I can.
No, you know, TK heard Uncle Dave going, you know, she's really charismatic.
Yeah. But the funny thing is he actually said, and you never hear this from Joshi fans or AEW fans for that matter. He said, I actually think that WWE, like these companies are better off getting in with WWE. Because WWE is using the talent, but they're not just outright stealing them. And that's what AEW raped New Japan. Like they just took everything they wanted and left them with David Finlay and Evil. And you know, and Naito.
No offense to the families of David Finlay and Evil.
And you know, Naito, a shell of himself. Kid. Yeah. So when I said Mina is coming, John says, so am I, Paul, when Mina and Mariah wrestled.
Nope, I haven't not seen
them.
That. Nope.
I haven't seen them wrestle yet. So moving on. I imagine we're going to see it soon. La, 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 la. Wrestle Dream would be my guess. So yeah, so that's coming. Pardon the pun. God. Next segment. And this show just keeps getting better. Excalibur's talking about Nigel challenging Danielson next week, but they're very clear to point out it's only if Brian is clear to wrestle. Tony Schiavone interrupts him and says, there's no guarantee he'll even be there, and I want you fans to know that. And then Taz said, even if he does show up, he might not be in good condition. And then they introduce a video package of Nigel and Daniel's history. And
hold we on. See,
yes.
They say this, and if you're sitting at home in, say, the metropolitan Long Island area.
Yep.
And you were thinking about getting tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go, kids? I don't know. He may not be there.
And what if you already bought tickets and thought you were seeing a world title match? That's a different story.
It's a work. You know he's going to show up because there's cards. Well, yeah. You know.
I don't know. Yeah. So they aired this, they put on this video package and we get a couple seconds of it and then it stops and the screen is frozen. I thought my own screen was frozen. And then all of a sudden it starts again and we see the same couple seconds and then it stops again.
I thought it was part of the bit.
I thought so. Then they go back to it and Excalibur says, oh, you know, okay, I guess we're having technical issues, and they start, you know, riffing about the match. And then, oh, okay, I think we got it working now. Let's do it. And then they aired the video and it was actually pretty good. You know, they talked to Briscoe, Roddy Strong, Jerry Lynn, of course, all ROH alumni. They showed highlights of Nigel and Danielson from their primes. The only thing I would say is that both those guys look so much different that it's almost like they're selling you that these two old guys that used to be good might fight next week. Like, you know, that's it. It's like, yeah. So, yeah, it's like they're showing highlights of like, well, you know what, to be honest, like,
you know what? I didn't want this because it's not going to be the kind of match that you'd see in ROH. It's not. And I wanted to hear Nigel's hate for Brian Danielson.
It actually probably will, but it shouldn't be.
Okay. But
yeah,
really what I want to get over is Nigel.
Yes.
I want that Heart of Darkness promo from him. Where, I mean, because this is what it started as. I mean, it was framed as, you know, it was, you used to be a wrestler, didn't you? I want that journey. I don't care about highlights of Nigel and Brian. That's member berries. That's stuff that, oh yeah, I remember that, because most of the sickos have seen those matches.
The one they aired on Saturday was better.
I saw that one too.
Yeah, it was Nigel narrating. And yes, he basically made himself look great and made Brian look like a clam digger. And, you know, and it was clear that that's what he was doing. So if you're watching, okay, number one, you get to see Nigel and see him wrestle in case you're not familiar. But then the other thing is you want to see Brian kick his ass.
And if I'm scripting a promo for him, I start with this sentence: you stole my life.
Yes.
And then I go from there, because that's the lead here. And it's one of those things where it's like, we can think about these things and we can plan them because this is a television show and then we can tape these things. And they just... They're missing the mark on here. The money is in wanting to watch Nigel be so mad and so bitter that he wants to beat the crap out of Brian Danielson. It's not about, look at the great matches they had in 2007.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're possibly getting that match next week. Tune in. You might see it.
Well, I think we're getting a fight next week in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
We may not get a match. We may get a brawl of some sort.
Maybe Jack Perry's going to show up with his bus and Brian Danielson to get out of it. It'd be funny.
Christian Cage cashes in there too. Who knows?
Well, we'll get to that. That's part of my theory. And in fact, we will talk about it soon, because Moxley and Marina entered through the crowd and Claudio was with them as well. And before they could get to the ring, they got attacked by Private Party and didn't go very well for Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy.
It sucks when you start the fight and you lose the fight.
Was it Dave always says? Baby faces should never start a fight and they lose. Yeah.
Yes.
So Claudio hit one of them with a choke slam on his knee. Mox was choking out Zay outside the ring. Marina was laying the boots to him. Claudio held him while Marina just beat the shit out of him with body shots.
Got beat up by a woman.
Commander shows up and challenged the three of them, and he does a dive and Claudio just uppercutted him in midair, took him out. And then Marina went after Alex Abrahantes, grabbed the mic from him. Claudio tossed Commander into the crowd. So it's kind of the reverse of what we saw with Bronson Reed on Raw. And then Mox pulls out a toolbox, goes through it, gets a hammer. Claudio was beaten on, I guess it was Mark Quinn. And then he gets the mic and he says, Private Party, I could end your careers right now for what you just did, but I'm not going to do that. You've been here, what, since the beginning? 5 years? You're the exact same spot you were 5 years ago. And why is that? I'm going to give you some of what you've been missing. I'm going to give you frictional existence, I think is what he said. Consider this a gift. And he hammered his hand into the stage with this hammer. And Isaiah's selling it great. Fans chanting, you sick fuck. And then Claudio gets attacked from behind by Darby with a skateboard. And then him and Darby faced off in the ring. Claudio was trying to help Mox, but Marina held him back. Darby swung the skateboard at Mox and he left. And then Darby says, John Moxley, I'm not the same guy you knew 5 years ago. I'm going to run through you at Grand Slam, walking into Wrestle Dream in my home state and becoming the next AEW world champion. So I'm going to give you my theory after you give your thoughts on this segment.
I would not have used that wording if I were Moxley. I would have said, you guys have been here 5 years and you're still losers. Because it's more in the world versus, to me, it felt like, look at you, it's 5 years and you're still not getting a push type of a thing. That's what it felt like to me. Yeah. I get that they're still in the same, you're still in the same place, but you need to kind of tie that with another thing into the actual on television world type of thing, in my opinion. You know, following geeks like Matt Hardy, you know, take a shot at him. Who cares? Yeah.
Sounded like it's parroting Brian Alvarez a little bit, because he's always talking about how guys have not advanced and they're stuck in the same spot.
But that's true. I mean, what he's saying is true. So don't get
me
wrong.
I want to hear it on the TV show.
Yeah, what this felt like. I mean, honestly, there's like a little bit of the Ric Flair Carlito thing in there where it's just where you're like, okay, we're crossing that fourth wall just a little bit more than I'd like here, to be honest with you. It was fine, but nobody has any emotional resonance for Private Party. So what does it care if you break his hand?
No. I mean, Tony might think they do because, you know, they get pops up, when they come out.
You're beating up losers. What do you care? They're not beloved baby faces. Like, say, I don't know, pick up baby face who's actually beloved, because they've been turning all of them lately
in this company. God,
yes. I don't know. Who's well liked that doesn't win a lot?
Top Flight.
Yeah, even Top Flight wouldn't get that reaction because nobody cares about Top Flight.
You know, you could have done it to Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly wouldn't have been bad. Orange wouldn't have been bad.
No, well, I think that's probably coming at some point. Probably saving that.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, there's no, like, here's a guy. Every time he comes out, we all cheer for him. Even if he's losing, he tries hard type of a thing. There's nobody.
Well, Commander, I mean, would have been that guy too, maybe.
Again, luchadors don't matter ever in America.
I mean, you're kind of getting to the problem with this company right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you don't really have any of those guys.
Yeah, because we've also given all of these guys an edge. Like, this could have been Sammy Guevara for a while too. Actually,
Sammy's a guy.
If he hadn't gone back and forth so much, but people still think he's a heel. So,
you know, who you could have done this too was the Outrunners. Dustin Rhodes
would have been a good one.
They did this to the Outrunners last week, but nobody saw it. They beat the shit out of the Outrunners on Collision after they got their first ever AEW win. They laid them out like garbage. Marina was kicking the shit out of both of them. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. This was right after their win. And then I think they figured out they were over, so they just wanted us to pretend we didn't see it, because literally 186,000 people watched that show or something. Hologram. Maybe. But I don't think he's over enough yet. I think he's only been on Dynamite once, if at all.
Yeah. Like, if you'd given like Griff Garrison a couple of strong wins leading into that, and then they beat him up, I'd be cool with that.
Hook
would have been a good one.
Yeah,
but he's not a loser.
Actually, Hook, well, it doesn't matter. Moxley's a heel. He's lying. So, anyways, the whole thing of this was they did an open challenge, right? So, it seems like Private Party's probably not going to be accepting this open challenge because Mark Quinn is hurt and Commander's in eight rows into the crowd and. Isaiah or Mark Quinn had his ribs destroyed by Marina Shafir's kick. So it's probably going to be somebody else accepting this open challenge next week, maybe like House of Black or something.
House of Black.
Yeah. Or who knows? But I think I know where this whole thing is going now. Okay. Originally, I thought, okay, they're doing this. They want to pivot. They want to do Moxley Danielson in Seattle. That's, you know, that's a big match they're building to. And that's, you know, I think Darby's beating Moxley next week, keeping his title shot, and then he's beating Danielson in Seattle, and that's it. And that's why they have to do the Danielson-Nigel match now, because once Danielson loses to Darby, that's it. We're not going to see him for a while. Like, we're going to see him again, but he, in storyline, has to retire. And I think, like, this whole thing with Moxley right now is building up to him putting over Darby. Now, what'll happen next is Darby wins the title, and then Moxley attacks Darby after the match and does the same thing or something similar to him to what he did to Danielson after the match at All Out. So he leaves him for dead. Who shows up? Christian Cage with his contract. And he's about to pin Darby for the title. But you don't want to end on a bad note. Because last year when they were in Seattle, they ended on a bad note. They had Darby lose his title. They had Nick Wayne churn. They just destroyed Edge and Darby on the Seattle show last year at WrestleDream. So this year, before Christian Cage can cash in.
Swerve?
No. Adam Copeland. Adam Copeland shows up. So it's perfect synergy with last year. And Darby ends up keeping the title and he feuds with Mox, going forward from there. We get rid of the Christian actually cashes in and he's, going to pin and then Adam Copeland shows up.
And then that makes Adam Copeland the new Sting for Darby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that. I mean, I find Darby Allin as world champion.
Oh, I'm not a huge fan of it, but I think that's where they're going.
I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm like, on its surface, I look at that and go, he's not world champion material. Guys don't believe he can beat people up, et cetera, et cetera. But people like him. People like his offense. He's an absolute madman. If he can continue being a madman, he'll be great.
The one good thing about him
kind of stink, but on the other
hand, good thing about him as champion is you'll go into every match thinking he can lose.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's new. It's something kind of unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. I don't know if it translates to eyeballs, but it's an interesting choice.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess we'll find out. Because, I mean, there's a lot of talk about Darby winning the world title, and it sure seems to be peaking for this show in Tacoma. So
I don't view it as a long title reign, though. That's the other thing.
No. I would think maybe till the end of the year, if that.
Although I would love the idea of like a year-long title reign where it just feels like he has a target on his back. And I think he could pull that. I think they could pull that off with good storytelling.
Wow. Yeah.
But Darby could pull that off as a character.
Yeah. Yeah. And
like his injuries start mounting up again. And
yeah, well, he did that storyline with the TNT title, didn't he? Where, every week he was more and more beat up. Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be fun. So we'll see. I'm predicting it right now, though. I think at WrestleDream, Darby wins the world title from Danielson. Christian tries to cash in. Adam Copeland returns, and that's that. So
yeah, that feels like a move that Danielson would want to make too.
Yeah, to put over Darby on his way out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Moxley would want to put over Darby as well.
So, yes, they want to make a new star here.
Yeah, exactly. And they need to make a new star. That's another important point. We got a Jack Perry video. This reminded me of like the House of Black. Like I don't know what the hell he's talking about. They showed voiceovers from his promos for the last 2 weeks while he's driving his van all over the place. He says, the beginning of my era, future is mine. People that don't like me can't handle the truth. No, you just suck. And that's it. So
he's trying to be Raven and he's not.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is Hangman came out later and did almost the same promo, and Hangman's bigger, meaner, tougher. And, I thought he blew,
maybe it's Perry a Looper away. Situation where Jack Perry is the Hangman from the past or the future. There you go. And he came back in time to wrestle at 8.
Oh, there you go.
Stop me when I make these dumb jokes. Go.
Ricochet and Mortos. Crowd was actually surprisingly dead at the start. Probably because they, whatever. Well, I will say,
because Mortos is a geek.
They set this match up well last week, with Mortos doing the post-match attack. It was exactly what you would expect. Everybody did a bunch of moves. I will say, I expected like Mortos to take like most of this match and Ricochet to be like the babies. Ricochet I think probably did more, maybe even more than Mortos did. I don't even think Mortos did his diving tornilla, which he does in almost every match.
No, he didn't steal the match from Ricochet, which is a good thing.
Exactly. At one point, Ricochet did like a code red type thing and like dropped Mortos right on his head. He did a springboard 450, got a two. Then Mortos hit a press slam off the top rope on Ricochet. Fans chanted AEW for that. Then Ricochet hit a crucifix bomb and an axe kick and then a reverse DDT bomb and got the win. It was basically, it was not quite a squash, but it was pretty much a match where you said, okay, this guy's the star, this guy's the not star, and the star won. And Ricochet was tired at the end of it. He was sucking wind on the ropes. It was a good match. Not much else to say.
I got nothing else to say.
Yeah.
I like Mortos a lot.
Yeah.
But they're just putting him in all these multi-tag things. I don't know if he's taking the pin on Saturday. He's probably taking the pin on Saturday.
No, it's going to be
one of the members of the Outrunners.
Yeah, or I don't even know who's in that match. I wrote it.
No, down. Okay, it's the Grizzled Young Veterans. Mortos.
Oh no, it'll be one of the vets. It'll be one of the veterans that takes it.
They just lost to FTR though.
Yeah, they're no good. I shouldn't say that. They're very good, but nobody cares about them. It depends what they're doing. It's probably gonna be one of the Outrunners if the babyfaces are gonna lose. I don't think it matters.
It doesn't matter, but it's just interesting because I want to know if they're going to actually push the Outrunners or not. And it's
they
like
should.
One of those things. Yeah,
they should, but it's a weird match. I mean, we'll talk about it in a second, but we got the Hangman video package. It was basically a replay of his promo from last week where he said he'd burn down all the Swerve's homes and then cuts his maniacal promo. I'm angry, frustrated. I can't sleep at night. I'm frustrated and depressed. Justice delayed is justice denied. Believe me when I tell you that I will have all that I want. And that was that. Reminded me very much of the Jack Perry video from earlier, is what I wrote down. And then we got the highlights of Grizzled Young Vets and FTR, which led to the 10-man tag you talked about. So this will be on Collision this week. And it's Hook, the FT Runners, which is FTR and the Outrunners, versus Beast Mortos, Grizzled Young Vets, Roosh, and Roderick Strong. What a random ass team. And you know why Roosh is
back?
You know why he's in there, right?
No.
Because Dave said on Wrestling Observer Radio that Roosh has been off TV for no reason for a long time, and I have no idea why he's not wrestling. So he just randomly got put in this match to prove Dave wrong. Because isn't Roosh part of the Callis family?
Yes.
Okay. So why is he teaming with Beast Mortos and Roddy Strong and the Grizzled Young Vets?
Because Roosh is awesome.
I guess, yeah. I don't think he's eating the pin.
I think Roosh should beat all nine of them. Or Roosh and Mortos should just murder death everybody.
Roosh and Mortos would be an awesome team.
Give me that Hoss team. Give me something to believe in. Come on.
Give me something to believe in.
Yeah, shut up. I was going there. they'd make a good Hoss team.
You don't like Bret Michaels? You just don't like me singing Bret Michaels?
I don't like
probably 80s. The latter.
80s hair metal gives me middle school
flashbacks.
So, yes.
Fair enough. Go to the ring. Tony Schiavone's here. He calls out Hangman. He says, you beat Swerve in one of the most violent matches ever. You said it's not done. And you sent a warning to anyone who would support Swerve or have his back or say good things about him. And what were you talking about? And Hangman says, I have watched and I've listened for a long while. I knew a day like this would come when Swerve Strickland was done and gone. And I knew that it wouldn't just be Swerve that needed to pay. Dozens and dozens of other people. People that protected him from me. People who supported Swerve Strickland. And apparently I'm surrounded by them now. And he looks out at the crowd. People who would cheer Swerve all the way to world championships. And you got people in the crowd saying, I was doing that. People who would cheer Swerve through every defense and people who would cheer Swerve when he was finally locked in his cage with his fate. And when I hear those voices, I'm reminded of the 4 months I sat at home suspended and heard their voices cheering them on. And while I was doing that, I heard another voice cheering Swerve Strickland on. Another voice loud and clear above them. A voice coming clear from the commentary desk. And he looked at Schiavone and Schiavone was like, oh shit. And he says, now listen. Jeff Jarrett is like, what? And then Tony Schiavone says, Jeff Jarrett's not here with me, but you are. And then Jeff Jarrett's music hit and he sauntered down to ringside, but eventually he ran and they brawled. Tony Schiavone left. They brawled into the crowd. back out of the crowd. Hangman beating him up against the barricade.
I just love them pointing out, yes, it's hard to get the upper hand when you're rolling into a ring where a guy's already there.
Yeah. Like,
oh, God, Jeff Jarrett's just going to get an ass beat, but he didn't.
No. Eventually, the security came out, and they both trying to get at each other.
Hold on. Security came out for Jeff Jarrett.
Yes.
But breaking Private Party's hand with a hammer.
Security, do you think you're getting paid enough to get in Moxley's way?
Well, you know, you got to protect your stars, too.
True. Hangman. Security, when they showed up, Hangman took off. Then Jarrett rolled out of the ring, tried to go after him. Lethal was holding him back. Hangman screaming at him, have you lost your mind? And then Satnam Singh was there. He's trying to hold Jarrett back. And Jarrett asked for a mic. And he says, Hangman Page, I'll be damned if I'll sit back here and let you put one frickin' finger on Tony Schiavone. As a matter of fact, there's an entire dressing room that wants to beat the hell out of you. And the last outlaw is in the ring, first in line. Hanger, as I affectionately know you, I'll make a promise to you. If it's the last thing I do in my career, the last outlaw is going to kick your ass. So he didn't promise to beat him. He just promised to get
to kick his ass. Oh. Yeah.
Just beautiful.
Emotional connection.
Yep.
You want to fight. You tell the guy you hate him, and I'm going to beat your ass. That's wrestling, baby. A little bit of a shade of the old Nikita Koloff, David Crockett, Ric Flair thing in this. Steve Austin, Jim Ross. You're allowed to beat up an announcer, but you're only really allowed to do it like once every 10 years. Yeah. So I was afraid they're going to use their card on this one, and I thought it was kind of a dumb reason. So I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, didn't the Bucks beat him up at one point?
Yes, they super kicked him.
Yeah. So yeah,
and they super kicked Marvez too, but I think Schiavone's
that doesn't matter. So yeah, that was good. I imagine we're probably going to see that next week. My guess would be Collision, because Collision
I'm guessing concession stand brawl, because Jarrett seems to love to do these. And he's good at
it. They're taping Collision at Grand Slam next week. So it's Grand Slam Dynamite and Grand Slam Collision.
Yeah. So, this is going to be a walk and brawl hardcore at the concession stand match.
Might be the best match on the show.
Probably.
It'd be awesome. It'll be in your book for sure.
Well, no, Jarrett's very good at these matches. If you watch his previous ones.
As long as you don't do comedy like they did, I think.
Yeah, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre match.
Oh, well, no, there's another one they did, I think, with Jericho. It was kind of comedy-ish. But yeah, the Chainsaw Massacre one was terrible. We go backstage to Remarkable Renee, and she's with Ricochet. Osprey interrupted and says, there's always been heat between us. And Ricochet started talking, but I couldn't hear a lot of what he was saying.
The sound was terrible on this promo.
They had the crowd noise up. And then eventually what I made out was he said he got his wins up like he told me to do. And from my perspective, when I started out here in AEW, everyone was calling me out. They wanted to prove they're better than Ricochet. They're worried more about me than I am about them. And then I noticed no one's calling you out. So let me do the honors. You're trying to reform the United Empire with Kyle Fletcher. Well, the following week after your tag title match next week, I hope you're not busy, because I talked to Tony Khan and I got myself a match. On October 2nd, at the 5-year anniversary, it's going to be Ricochet and Will Ospreay for your international championship. We've had matches that change the landscape of pro wrestling. I'm still out of this world. You might be on another level, but I'm still out of this world. And on October 2nd, you'll find out why. I'll see you soon, real soon. And he stops and he says, little bro. Maybe the best promo Ricochet's ever cut.
Yeah.
It was really good. Yeah. And I mean, I was just in awe. They're promoting a match for 2 weeks from now. Like, oh my God. It's still my heart. So it's a match that everyone wanted to see. I figured they'd save it for a pay-per-view, but nope.
Kind of hoping Ricochet turns heel and joins the Callis family.
Could happen.
Won't happen, but it could happen.
Or Kyle Fletcher could turn on him next week, take him out. We don't get Ricochet.
Kyle Fletcher's turning on him next week. There's no doubt about that.
So maybe we don't even get Ricochet Osprey in 2 weeks.
No, we do not. No. Well, no, I don't know.
Would they celebrate the
big 5-year advertisement? Well, you know, Ricochet may not be there next week, guys. Yeah. So don't buy tickets.
No, Osprey won't.
Osprey, my fault.
Yeah, maybe Ricochet saves him. Yeah. So no, I like the idea of Ricochet churning and joining up with Callis family. That'd be cool. Although I'm not even sure they're heels anymore.
No, they're not. That's the other issue. So.
Yeah.
Except for Takeshita.
Yeah. Who's the guy everyone likes the most.
Yes.
So bizarre. Speaking of which, we got our main event, which was Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher, and Takeshita against the Bucks and the Elite. Or I wrote down the Bucks and the Elite. The Bucks are the Elite. The Bucks and Okada. Don Callis was on commentary. And they start, nothing much was going on. And then eventually Ospreay and Okada got in there together. Fans chanted, holy shit, just at the sight of them. And Okada tried to give a hug. And then he kicked Ospreay in the gut instead. And I pointed out half the guys in this match were taped up with Canisio tape. They did this spot where like all six guys were in the ring and Elite did springboard somersaults and they all posed. And then I wrote down the faces get up, but I guess they're not technically all faces. But they got up and attacked from behind and the Elite rolled out, posed again. Opponents all kicked them and did springboard dives. And a big part of this match was Ospreay and Takeshita not really getting along. They're putting over Kyle Fletcher as the star of the match. At one point, Okada was selling like he was out of it. I thought, oh, maybe he got hurt, but no, it's just Okada. He's just selling. And yeah, they did. They had a great match. Like, you know, it was just all over the place. Fans chanted AEW at one point. Callis at one point says, the Elite have the advantage because they've teamed together before, but my team's like an all-star team, so we'll get better as this match goes on. But it's really weird. Like, he was putting over the Elite like a lot.
He put over the Bucks as the best in the business at one point.
Yeah, yeah, and they're facing. Yeah.
Don't you hate these guys? Wait, what?
Maybe he's going to drop his team and manage the Elite after this. I don't know. Because they're also against Kenny Omega, right?
I guess.
And yeah, like, it's kind of weird. But anyways. Well,
It's still weird that he never goes out there to manage anybody, too.
So. True. Bucks were on control on Takeshita. Crowd's kind of dead. They hit risky business for two. Okada did the savage elbow on Takeshita. They did the triple spot where they do the F-bomb, and the crowd didn't react like they normally do. And Ospreay made a hot tag, ran wild on everybody, did a standing sky twister press
because
for two.
They don't know the F-bomb.
Yeah. he went for an Os cutter. Okada caught him, and then he ate a double super kick. Okada draped him on the ropes. Nick stomped on him. Matt covered for two. Buck set up the EVP trigger. I wrote here the match is starting to fall apart. Shivani at one point calls the babyface team the United Empire, and Taz corrected him and said it's the Callis family. And Don's like, yeah, I was just going to say that. So I don't think they actually are the United Empire. I'm pretty sure that Ospreay and Fletcher left that group. But Fletcher hit an assisted cutter. Okada hit a flapjack, hit the drop kick on Takeshita, went for the Rainmaker. Takeshita hit a blue thunderbomb, and people bought that as a possible pin, but he didn't get it. Did a somersault dive to the outside on Okada. Nick did a facebuster on Fletcher. Moonsaulted Takeshita on the outside. Buck set up a TK driver. Fletcher got out. He hit a twisting tombstone for two, but Nick broke it up. Then Ospreay hit the hidden blade on Matt. And then Ospreay and Fletcher did this double team move. I didn't quite make out what his caliber said. Carvinalis, maybe, on Matt. And then Fletcher covered him for the pin. So, amazingly enough, out of all the guys in this match, Fletcher got the pin, which I wasn't expecting because of the how hard they were putting over Fletcher. I thought, oh, well, he's probably eating the pin. And no, he got the pin.
I expected this because he's eating the pin next week.
Yeah,
I
probably.
Think.
Yeah.
When Will can't save him.
Or Ospreay does, and then Fletcher turns on him. One
of
the two.
Well, yeah. But, and for that, I mean, I'm hyped for that match because Ospreay and Fletcher are very good together. Yeah. I know that's not a shock to a lot of people, but it's kind of a shock to me because they don't work together terribly often, but they're still they're a tag team that I would love for them to get matching gear and do a run with. That's how good I think they are. And next week, I'm kind of hyped for this. So long as they don't tip their hand that Fletcher is turning. That match has to be straight ahead and not, oh, there's miscommunication on the part of Fletcher. No, just do a great match. Fletcher loses or Ospreay loses. Fletcher just gets mad that he didn't win the big one again and just goes to town on Will. I'm fine with that.
You could even have Callis show up at ringside and then at one point, and then he goes now. And then he turns on him. like this is like a plan that Callis has had the whole time.
Yes, I'm cool with that too. I'm cool with either one. Yeah. I just don't want them, you know, oh, there's a miscommunication there and Fletcher's looking frustrated, you know.
Yeah, don't, yeah, you want it.
Don't
be
don't
more
come
effective.
To the ring with a goatee next week, you know. Don't just don't tell me you're turning heel. That's all I want.
He shows up with black hair. Matching tights with the Keshna. So that was that. Callis came down to congratulate everyone. Keshna and Ospreay did a stare down. Ospreay offered him a handshake and Keshna pie faced him and they started yelling at each other. And then they do the like plug for Grand Slam. And all they mentioned was you got the tag team title match that we just talked about. We might have Bryan Danielson and Nigel McGuinness, and Moxley and Darby are wrestling for the title shot. So that's all they mentioned. We've also got Hook and Roddy Strong, and I think that's all for now. I'm sure Tony's already made a couple matches on Twitter. They're taping.
Isn't there a women's casino gauntlet?
Are you
that they announced a couple weeks ago for this show, and then they haven't hyped since?
I don't think so, but it wouldn't surprise me if there
was. There was, but don't quote me on that.
You know what's funny is we were in the Discord again. Larry Sternshine, our good friend, he at one point says it was like the day before a show. I don't say Collision maybe, and he's like, "Oh, Tony just tweeted out that there's going to be a women's casino gauntlet match tomorrow." We're all like, "You're fucking kidding me! No way!" And Larry's like, "Yeah, I am."
That might be what I'm thinking of then.
Yeah, because it was like he was just—he totally just made it up. Like, and it's like, yeah, we could believe that, you know? Yeah, yeah. Because I think they're—I
got him booked.
I think they're taping Collision and Rampage together on Thursday. I think, or no, you know what? I think they're taping Rampage tonight, and then on Thursday they're taping this week's Collision and next week's Rampage. That's what it is.
Okay.
Because next week's Rampage will not be a Grand Slam Rampage. And then next week on Dynamite, they're taping Dynamite and Rampage together, or Dynamite and Collision together. So a lot of tapings going on. A lot of Thursday tapings coming up too as well, which is interesting for Collision. So I don't know if that show's not going to be live anymore, or they're moving nights, or what's happening. But
it's not going to be live anymore because it's one of those things where they can't guarantee a house coming in because of college football.
Yeah, that and and then they
and
can
WWE
move it around.
PLEs are on Saturday too.
Yeah, so they can move around the time if they want. They don't have to air it at 8 o'clock Central. So
right.
Or 8 o'clock Eastern. So yeah, that's that. No matches announced for Rampage. We got the 10-man tag for Collision, and then we have the bunkhouse match that they never told us about is also on Collision. So
I've said this before, but I know that people don't like the constant plugging on WWE, but it works.
It does. It does. I mean, you know, all you need to do was, I mean, if you watched NXT this week, for instance, so we had CM Punk out there.
Yes.
We had CM Punk out there. They were hyping up October 1st in St. Louis, October 8th in Chicago, but they even made matches for next week. And they're hyping all this up while putting on a show that did a good rating because they pumped it up for a week and they advertised CM Punk and all this. So that to me is effective pro wrestling. What AEW is doing right now, I mean, the matches are good, but I think it's impossible to build when you book like this. And I think the slow erosion of audience that's part of the reason why. Because
if it doesn't feel important, nobody's going to watch.
Well, yeah, they don't give you a reason to tune. Like, well, next week they built up well. I think next week will do a good number.
No, it will.
Yeah, because they've been building that match for a long time. But why would anybody watch Collision or Rampage this weekend? They gave you no reason to.
Because people like wrestling. And that's what they're thinking. That's what they're thinking. They're wrong.
Well, the number of people that like wrestling are, you know, 250,000 right now that will tune in anything they put on because that's what they're at.
I mean, it's one of those things where we've also discussed, you know, time management.
Yes.
I mean, you like watching all of the wrestling. I don't care about Collision and Rampage because I don't expect anything of any value to be on there. The way they would get me to watch Rampage and Collision is to have a title change or something on there. And I go, oh, maybe I need to start watching this again.
And there might be a title change this weekend because Dustin Rhodes' contract is apparently up.
Ring of Honor titles don't count.
Fair enough. Some don't tell Mark Briscoe that. Actually, Mark Briscoe didn't even have his title with him this week when he came out. That was interesting. All right, so that we're up.
And no Mark Briscoe promo this week. I was very disappointed.
Oh yeah, I didn't get to recap anything. The word of the day.
No,
it's infatigability.
You just made that up.
I did. All right, get your plugs in.
At Crap Game 13 on the old X, I do a show called Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino this week. Don't have his Vader Club yet, but he's looking for a Hashimoto Vader match because we watched that six man last week and fell in love with it. But we'll be going over all the news in AEW and WWE and NXT and whatnot, and what he thought of this, that, and the other. I can't think of any big stories that are really poking out at me right now other than this TV rights deal. And, you know, that's going to be talked to death for weeks anyway. So, it'll be a fun show. We'll crack wise. It'll drop sometime later this week.
All right. And I actually do have stuff to plug. We're doing more writing over at Fight Game Media, so you can check out the Fight Game Media website. I've had a few articles up this week. Garrett has written about the AEW media rights deal that you just talked about. He's written about some other stuff. I know Sam Shipman had a great article about Athena and the ROH title. Justin Nipper is writing some good stuff about Japan. And I had MMA about John Jones possibly having his last fight. So a lot of good stuff up there. Check it out. Helps us out when you check out those articles because, you know, there's little ads in them and stuff and we get money. So check it out. And you can follow me at Paulie's Fontaine on Twitter. I'll tweet out whenever somebody has an article. So, and then come back next week for this show. So for Jeff Hawkins, I've been Paul Fontaine, and this has been The Dynamite Show.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.